Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. Good morning, Mayor. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm doing well.
Your listeners should know you're wearing Ralph Lauren today.
I am wearing Ralph Lauren. I was telling
Looks like you just stepped off a yacht.
Hardly. This is not yachting weather, Mayor. This is not yachting weather. But I don't mind it. Winter's here, or appears to be here anyway.
Well, yesterday, if you were outside,
it was terrible.
It was. Yeah, we had a good Veterans Day parade yesterday, but it was a little brisk. out there for sure. But I appreciate people showing up despite the chilly weather.
Good turnout.
It was an okay turnout. But overall, people were out there. Good, well-run parade by Bob Bromley and Chris Gomes, who put it together every year. They work really hard to make it work. And the Grand Marshal was retired Command Sergeant Major James Rollins, who had a really distinguished career in the Army, fought in Vietnam, was with distinction. So overall, very well done. The bands are out there, New Bedford and Dartmouth bands, and so that was all good to see all the kids getting involved in it. And so, good tribute yesterday. So I just thank everybody who had a part in putting it on for their hard work.
You're the mayor of New Bedford here. A community lost someone. You made a post on Facebook, a former prosecutor, attorney. I knew him pretty well, Ray Veery. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity. It's over the yeah. So there was a tribute to him written in the Standard Times, written by Matt Ferreira, which was really, I thought, well done. We don't see as many tributes in the press
anymore
because the bandwidth at the Standard Times, and I think it's one of the reasons. But Ray Veery certainly deserved a special attention because he had served New Bedford for a long time in Greater New Bedford. He, among other things, he was just a very, very well respected prosecutor in the Bristol County DA's office. Just accomplished a lot, tried many big cases over the years, going all the way back to Big Dan's, and then became a judge. He was just so in the Superior Court. So it was really great there. But a lot of people knew him because he was an actor.
Right.
And he played roles at particularly your theater, but also in other theater troupes as well. But he was really good at that. So he was a Renaissance man. He served in the Army. So the guy was, he had multiple talents, but he was just an all-around good guy.
Yeah.
And he got a nasty cancer, and he's too young to be lost. But just want to express, I went to his wake and expressed my condolences directly to his wife Claudette. But just a really good person, and somebody who will be sorely missed.
Yes. Yeah. No, I agree with you, Mayor. I do. I really do. Ray Veery was a hell of a guy. we've got news happening here on the national level, but everything impacts.
I should turn to the television.
No one right should turn to the television, Mayor. They should stay tuned right here to WBSN.
If you're hearing this, shut off the TV.
Yes, correct.
Increase the volume of Chris's voice.
Turn up the volume.
Pump up the volume. Pump up Chris McCarthy.
Yes. The House is coming up. I believe we're going to vote today on the shutdown,
right.
The deal. You have been following this closely, and a leader within the Democrat Party. Mayor, you aren't there, not yet, but what would you do? what would you suggest the House do? The House Democrats? What do you think, Mayor?
I think it's
opine on this.
It's a tough call.
Yes.
I think it's a tough call because people are frustrated that government's been shut down for a while, and it's really started to the effects have really started to come home to roost recently, especially with the closing off of SNAP benefits, and especially as the weather's getting colder and getting closer to the holidays, that's not good. And I've been out there publicly exhorting people to donate to food banks, and because it is a big problem here in New Bedford, it's roughly 36,000 people in the city are rely on SNAP benefits. So it's a lot. And air traffic control, that's having an effect everywhere as well. So the shutting off of flights, I was delayed in a flight last week. It's happening to pretty much everybody who's flying these days. So that's having an impact. And there are plenty of others. We've talked about.
Are we seeing an impact at all? With the TSA in New Bedford or any of that?
Yeah, they shut off Cape Air shut off those flights to Boston.
Right, that's a big deal.
Yeah, so in any case, I just think in some ways, but on the other hand, the Democrats are caving, and people's health care is going to go up a lot. A lot of folks who rely on the Affordable Care Act, and so I think it's a tough call. I would be eager to find a way to deal with the healthcare subsidy. I think that has to be picked up in earnest. The Republicans don't want to extend those credits, and that's going to make people's healthcare more expensive. But I think the government's got to get back open. That's kind of my attitude.
Yeah, mine too. It's like third world. I mean, you got to have an open. America has got to be in business. I mean, this is crazy.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It shouldn't have to come to this. It's been normalized. That's the problem, Chris. We had the first shutdowns back in the 90s, and that was an inconvenience for a while. But they didn't last that long.
Right.
This one lasted, whatever it was, 40-something days, or I forget, I've lost count, but it's been well over a month.
Yes.
And it's having effects on people, but especially the timing of it at the beginning of the federal fiscal year, which is October 1st, I think made things even worse because of things like the WIC benefits, the money that goes to pregnant women and women who've recently had children. That's a big program that's been put on unstable ground. And then of course the SNAP benefits, it affects a lot of people. So I just think they got to get out of the business of using the shutdown as a cudgel, because it increases intensifies people's cynicism about government.
Yes,
generally,
yes.
When a lot of us in government are just trying to figure out how to just work really hard just to make the trains run.
Right.
And when I see this, I couldn't shut down city government even if I wanted to, So that when I see that at the federal level, it just causes me to wonder, like, what are people's priorities?
It's like they're fooling around.
Yeah, and look, I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around, frankly.
Yes.
So it's not, I'm not throwing, casting aspersions at any one party, but I just, as a mayor, and I know a lot of other mayors feel this way, I can't help but think, geez, I can't do that, but I wouldn't even consider doing that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. No, people get hurt.
People get hurt. Yeah. People rely on government to do things they can't do for themselves.
Yes.
And so in some cases, right, runs the gamut from defending the country to in the case of some people who are really needy, getting food benefits from the federal government. And we can't afford to allow what I think are policy differences to result in the shutdown of the enterprise of the federal government.
Yeah, it doesn't make America look good at all. In the spirit of Thanksgiving, we here at WBSM want to help local families celebrate together with our Hunger Heroes Food Drop. For the 33rd year in a row, we'll be collecting food to benefit the United Way of Greater New Bedford Hunger Heroes Project. This year means more than ever, as the mayor just said, with all the uncertainty of where some South Coast families will get their next meal. So if you want to give them a great one for Thanksgiving, join us at Aldi in Dartmouth on Saturday, this Saturday, November 15th, from 10 a.m. to noon, to donate the necessary Thanksgiving items. You can find all of the details at WBSM.com. Hunger Heroes Food Drop is made possible by our friends at First Citizens Federal Credit Union, Aaron's Pools and Spas, Carefree Homes, and Goulart Square Bakery. We'll have more with the mayor. We'll be right back and take a break. Good morning. We'll be right back.
Dartmouth. This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Ziggy played guitar, jamming good with Weird and Gilly and the Spiders from Mars. He played it left hand.
Welcome back to the program. A little David Bowie from the Mayor's Playlist.
Quite the hairdo, huh?
That is.
It's like, people can't see the videos you play with these songs, Chris, but I can attest that's quite a hairdo on David Bowie.
What was going on there? I guess we're not going to inquire. Because government goes on in New Bedford, the public schools, Mayor, you're the chairman of the school committee,
right?
Released a strategic plan with four goals. Talk about that.
Yeah, I mean, we also last week released the city's comprehensive plan,
yes,
as well. So
40 pages.
Yeah.
40 pages.
Of course.
It's on the printer in the back.
It's not that much.
No, I know.
Wait, you thought it was too long?
No, I didn't. I think Tim might have thought it was too long because I go, hey, can you go get that for me? But I had gone over it at home on the computer, and I don't think it was too much. And again, it's a build on other plans.
Well, so let's talk about both of them.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the comprehensive plan first, because by its title, it's broader. They used to be called master plans, city master plans. Now they're called comprehensive plans, and it's something cities should do. Actually, in Massachusetts, they're required to do.
I noticed that
every 10 years or so. But like, we don't do these. We don't undertake the formation of plans. We don't develop plans just because the state requires us to do it. We do it because we should be planning. And I'm a big believer in clear plans, because what plans do is they get, among other things, they give you a direction, and they help, if they're formed with a lot of input, to get everybody on the same page. And it's true of the comprehensive plan, which was, the work was headed up by our planning department. It's one of the roles of city planning departments is to form comprehensive plans. But what it's supposed to do is to say, for the next 10 years, this is the general direction we want to go in. Mm-hmm. And so in every facet of the work that the city does, so it ranges from economic development to the provision of city services, to city finances, to the physical environment, infrastructure that we build, land use planning, all that. So that's the idea, and it was formed through the work of a number of with the benefit of a number of public hearings that we had in a number of public forums over the course of a year, but also input from a number of stakeholders, neighborhood groups. And so what we have in effect is a really clear plan that it's based on the idea that New Bedford is a city that centers a very well-defined region that is has made a lot of progress in recent years, and it's progress that we want to build on. And so it sort of sets forth a number of key infrastructure projects that we want to advance, but also the kinds of businesses that we want to see here and how to go after them. And also to talk about how we can sort of navigate financial pressures and so forth. So I think I would just, if you're interested, and I assume it's written, I think, in pretty clear prose.
I found it to be readable. Yeah.
That's the idea. But I encourage everybody to read it. A lot of people put a lot of work into it. But what flows from that plan are a number of other sub-plans. And so you might say, geez, well, all you're doing is just planning and planning. Well, no, we're not planning. We're executing on
these. Yeah, you are.
They don't just sit on the shelf. And I think that's something that my time in office, we've prided ourselves on. We execute. The execution is actually more important than the planning. You got to follow through.
Yes.
So among the other sub-plans that come out, there's an economic development plan. There's a housing plan, which already exists. It's basically the same housing plan that we released year and a half or so ago. And within, like, say, the economic development plan, there's sub-plans. There's one for the There will be one in the next year for the waterfront for the maritime industries. There's already an existing arts and culture plan we'll be releasing soon, a manufacturing plan. These are all things that when we plan these things, we set it from those plans, we set out a number of goals and we pursue those goals. We follow through on them. And that's the expectation. What the public deserves.
The creation of that piece of land, opening up that land up there on Hathaway Road, I mean, it hasn't done anything yet, but I think that was such an important execution.
Yeah, well, that one's going to take a little bit of time, but still, it's because we've had just an unusual number of hoops that we have to jump through that land because it was treated as parkland under state law,
so it had
to go through the legislature and a number of other hoops. But be that as it may, so one of the plans that we're also releasing is the 5-year strategic plan for our schools, which focuses goes through a number of things that are important in any school district, but it all centers around classroom instruction. That's where the rubber hits the road. Mm-hmm. Teachers have to teach well, and students have to learn well. Right? It's a two-way street.
Yes.
It's not all on the teachers.
They have to show up.
Yeah. And so, it's something that the superintendent led on, and it is it speaks in terms of supporting students, having great facilities, ensuring all the more common stuff, right? That they're well supplied schools and kids are well fed and all that. But ultimately, it's also grounded in accountability. We have to perform. Teachers have to perform. Mm-hmm. Principals have to perform. Everybody in this has to perform, all in service of great classroom instruction. And we have to do what we can to support parents so that they send their kids to school prepared. I can't emphasize it enough. A lot of times we do speak in terms of what teachers have to do, which is, you know, the expectations are high, but we also need students ready to learn. So students who are behaving well, students who are supported in every way, a school district that engages parents so parents have a sense of what they're getting out of the school system and figure out ways they can support their kids.
Right.
So, again, another plan that I hope everybody takes a look at.
And I know I got it through the hyperlink, but it's all available, I would assume, on the city's website.
That's right. So stay tuned. We have the housing plan is out there. The arts and culture plan is out there. We're executing on those. And separately, the economic development plan will basically cut it off as a separate document. So that'll be out there as well. And then a number of sub-plans, like one for the waterfront, one for arts and we have arts and culture, but manufacturing and so forth. So if people want to know, I say all this, and it sounds like, geez, you know, all this planning they're doing, what is it? You want to know what your government is doing.
Yes.
And what your government is doing has to be informed by the input of the people. We give people an opportunity for input. We encourage people to offer their input. And ultimately come up with an idea for our vision of the city to based on that input, as well as what we know about the world, right?
Right.
Markets and that we operate in and all that. So if you want to know what city government is supposed to be doing, look at those plans.
We have the mayor of New Bedford here, as we usually do on Wednesdays. Mayor, we've had the election. It's settled in now. Have you heard from any of the people who made it onto the city council yet?
The new councilors, yeah. I spoke to, well, the two new councilors, James Roy and Scott Pemberton, and they're getting up to speed on stuff. And I told them, like, guys, I saw them both yesterday at the parade.
I said,
look, if you, you know, whatever you need to get up to speed, let us know. We want to make sure we're supporting you. And as you start to, you know, learn up things that about city government, about the budget and so forth. But I want to, and they're ready to go. Look, it's like any other job, city councilor, mayor, whatever. There's a lot to learn when you first get into it. So, but we want to support them in that journey, as it were.
Right. So, no, I agree.
So we stand ready to do that. But I think I'm sure they both are eager to get going.
the obstacle to the Phillips Ave school restoration, whatever's going to happen with that. Do you think you're going to submit the Phillips Ave school again? Is Cruise Construction still interested?
Well, we're going to try to advance it. It wasn't discharged from their agenda, but we think we can get that going again. What we want to do is, now that's been pushed back, we have a number of school buildings want to push out. And they're all different. Like, the Kempton School is different from the Taylor School, which is different from the Phillips Ave School, different parts of the city, different neighborhood needs, and so forth. And so, rather than throwing them all on the market all at once, I talked to our housing director, Josh Amaral, and the thought is, now we're going to sort of try to do these things sort of incrementally. So it may take a little bit of time, but that's intentional, so that we can get the best bids out there. Because we don't want, Chris, if we don't want some developer coming in and bidding on all of them and saying, you know, I'll get to them when I get to them. We want develop. So once they're bid on, once they're signed off, they're kind of out of our hands.
Yes.
It's hard. We include clawback provisions from time to time, but even then, that causes, as we saw with the Taylor School, that it can be hard to finance those acquisitions. I guess it was with the fire. It was actually with one of the fire stations, but it can be hard to get those projects financed if there are clawback provisions.
Right.
Banks don't want to bear the risk that the city might pull the plug on
sure.
it because it hasn't moved along fast enough. So we want to do everything we can to get developers to actively develop these properties. And one way we think that it might be necessary just to sort of push them out incrementally than all of them all at once. So what the order is, I'm not sure. I suspect that Phillips Ave will probably go a little bit later than the other ones.
Okay.
But that's the current plan.
We have the mayor of New Bedford here in the studio. We're going to start taking some phone calls from the audience. Some people have been waiting on hold to speak with you, Mayor. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning, Chris and Mayor Mitchell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hi. They just paved Aquidnet Street near Mitchell, and they've done an outstanding job.
Oh, good.
I want to commend the people who did this. However, there is a problem. In the letter that came out, it said that they were going to plant trees. And my neighbors and I are very happy not having trees in front of our homes for a variety of reasons. One of them is we're in the wind zone, and some are in the flood too, and you pay extra for the insurance for all this. So we try to keep our homes to make it easy to maintain them and keep them, you know, the gutters and all that. We're very careful on our landscape, and the neighborhood has really done a good job working together to make it easy. So we don't want trees in front of our homes. I spoke to one of the gentlemen paving the streets and was told that you have to plant trees to get federal funding for the roads. Is that true? Is that a correct thing?
Well, that's not exactly right. But I also don't think it's correct that the trees will make your insurance rates premiums go up either. But so... I think, you know, I've heard a little bit about this before, and I think I know who this is calling. I get your point about the trees. I mean, what we try to do, there are benefits, lots of benefits to street trees, and we try to take a reasonable approach with people if the tree that could go in front of their house is in sort of an awkward position. So we have DPI look at that stuff when people object and say, you know, is this, because the trees are planted in the street ribbon, which is city property, right? So they're meant to provide a broader benefit than street trees do, right? It's all the things, think about how street trees help. They tend to slow down traffic. They tend, frankly, to raise property values where they're planted. You know, they're good for air quality. They're all and all that, right? So, we try to do this in a thoughtful way. I mean, to say like we don't want any on one particular street, like I'm not sure that that's in the cards, right?
Okay.
But that DPI will take a look at it. But so this is on, if I remember correctly.
It's on Aquidneck Street.
On the west side of Aquidneck, right?
On the west side, yeah. On the northwest side.
Okay.
And we're up, we're very close to the water. We're only like four or five houses up from West Beach area. And the thing is, my neighbors, I guess across the street years ago, the city had put a tree in front of their house and the roots grew into the cellar. And that was a huge problem. It was like, I don't know, they told me like 15 years ago or something. But the thing is this, you know, a lot of us are older. I'm older. My neighbors are older. They're single people here. The maintenance of our property, we keep our lawns neat. We don't need another burden. We have a beautiful ocean view as well. And the other thing is, I'm looking at, right now as I'm talking to you, I'm looking at the telephone lines and all those wires hanging down. It's a problem. It could be a problem. Right now, I haven't had a problem. We're very happy the way things are. But do you recommend I call I called DPI, but they haven't gotten back to me. So what would you advise?
They're listening.
They're listening.
They're listening. I love it. Okay.
They will, without outing your identity, I think I know who this is. I'm sure they have their number, so we'll go and follow up with it. But just know they're not going to say, we'll cross Aquidneck Street off the list. They can figure out a way to put trees there that work. I get it. You know, my grandmother lived on Ohio Street, and she hated trees. She hated trees. You know why she hated trees? Because they have leaves.
What? Yes, I agree with you. I agree with her.
So she never let the city plant anything there. She would have thrown herself in front of a dump truck trees planted on it. But I didn't quite see it the same way as she. And so, but I understand the sentiment at least.
Yeah. Well, I'm your grandmother reincarnated.
Thank you for listening.
You can help me out, Mayor.
Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. You made the right call today to the right audience. Mayor, we got some other people on hold. We're going to take a break. Yeah, I never liked raking leaves either. I never thought it was a good idea. I thought it was a waste of my time, particularly when I was
a
teenager.
Good workout. You get the deltoid work.
Right. It is a good workout. But I had
good
other
for the
ideas.
Lats.
Yes, it is a good workout. We'll be right back, folks. Stick around. More fun with the mayor.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy. Weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM. WBSM.
I'm only happy when it rains off the mayor's playlist. Well, soon enough, it won't be raining. It'll be snowing. It'll be snowing, and that's because we're getting into the Christmas season. For 78 years now, Carter's Clothing has been South Coast's one-stop shop for clothing and footwear. And this Christmas, Carter's Clothing is making gift-giving even easier. Carter's has the best prices on top-name brands like Carhartt, Timberland, Chippewa, New Balance, and more. Stop by Carter's Clothing. There's something for everyone at Carter's Clothing. With over 75 styles of boots, cozy flannels, hoodies, and jackets and vests. Perfect for the winter. Free parking available at both locations, both in downtown New Bedford and in Fall River. And most importantly, gift cards are available at Carter's Clothing in any denomination. Shop small, shop local this Christmas with Carter's Clothing. You can even visit them online at carters-ma.com, carters-ma.com. Mayor, you will be doing something good to help people with parking in downtown New Bedford and on Acushnet Avenue. Talk about that.
Yeah, free parking in the garages as well through the Christmas season. As well as the deal we have where if you get a ticket on the street, if you show, go to the parking garage, to the parking office, and show them you've shopped downtown, you can get a dispensation for that parking ticket. So, you know, it's one more reason to go downtown. But yeah, the downtown offers a lot of real great deals. There's a lot to do there. I think the Zeitarian box office is back open. So, you know, that's always, for me, something I always buy somebody's Zeitarian tickets.
Yes.
So that's the Z's going to be back in business soon enough. In January, I think January 17th is the first show.
Really?
So, yeah. So
that's wild.
Yeah. So 2 months out, the Z will be back open better than ever. And we can talk, probably find time to talk about that, because I think that's going to be a big deal.
Yes.
But the, and then on the Ave, again, there's a lot of good stuff to shop for on the Ave, but so there will be free meters on the Ave through the Christmas season as well. So again, that people should take advantage of that.
No, I think it's a great deal. It's the really important thing the city can do to help local businesses and local people shop locally. That's great, Mayor. We get some people on hold still waiting to speak with the mayor. Here you can reach him at 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on with the mayor.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hello.
Good morning, Mayor Mitchell.
Is this Shaneen?
Hi.
How are you? It's been so long. You don't call. You don't write. Sometimes I don't think you love me anymore.
Mayor Mitchell, I got to talk to you about the roads, especially Cottage Street. You told me several springs ago already, two springs ago, that was on the list, and it's so bad. And I have a back problem, whether you know it or not by looking at me, you can't tell, but from my spine, top of my neck, all the way down to my lumbar, I actually need major surgery, and it really hurts. I take the demand response and going over those bumps. It's horrendous.
Yeah, so I know what you're talking about. So we did Cottage Street all the way up to Parker a couple of years back. So that's brand new. And then I suspect you're talking about north of Parker Street. So I actually had somebody else mention that as well to me yesterday. So I'm I got to figure out where it is on the list. So DPI maintains a list of street repairs that are listed according to an index they create about the condition of the roadway and its usage. Like more travel roadways tend to have, streets have a higher rating just because they affect more cars. So it's all done by a formula, and I just don't know off the top of my head where. And I'm assuming you're saying Cottage Street north, going north from Parker, where that is on the list. But I will try.
Right.
I will track that answer down. But there's, you know, we put in. I filed with the city council a capital improvement plan that about a month ago that had $3 million in road work on it, and they shot that part of it and the entirety of that capital improvement program down because they thought, you know, those things didn't need to be repaired, but we'll go ahead and we'll put something else in front of them soon enough. But we've been committed to fixing our roadways. It's not easy.
Mayor Mitchell, it's right in front of, I don't want to interrupt you, but time's running out. It's right in front of Cottage Street Motors, that strip there.
Yeah.
And it's really bad. And a girl called in after I called in. Seven people called in about the roads after I called in the other day. So if we were to take a survey right now, I mean, we would win hands down. That they need to be addressed. And Cottage Street is really bad. It needs to go. It needs to be right away. I noticed that they did right in front of Sacred Hearts on the side there, the side street. Where nobody goes, there's a home there that's like for special needs.
Yeah.
And it's all brand new, black tar, because I walk around these blocks. And I don't know why you did that, because it didn't need it.
Listen, it's not me. It's a DPI. It's a very technical undertaking to fix roads, right? There are engineers involved, and these are roads that have been in place, streets that have been in place for well over a half a century in most cases. And so, and they're meant to last that long. So when you do them, you have to do them the right way. Sometimes the right way, oftentimes the right way means you dig it up, you put down a what's called a binder coat, and then you leave it over the winter so it settles, so it's tighter for the next many decades, and then you put the final coat on. So I say all that because it's not like I sit there in my office and say, you know what, I think I'm gonna hit Robeson Street today, and then maybe Maryland Street next month. And we don't do that. It's all done by a formula. And so
thank you for the call.
Cottage Street, that stretch of Cottage Street north from Parker Street, is no doubt it is pretty beat up. And the question is it more beat up than other places in the city? I can point you to a number of places that are even more beat up than that one, but we will be getting to Cottage Street. It is. I wish I had $10 million a year to spend on streets. We don't. So we have to prioritize, and we have to do it in an objective way based on a formula. And so that's what that's the way it works. I don't know, as I sit here again, where Cottage Street is on that list, but we'll go track down that answer.
Mayor, you submitted the chief of police to the city council. We'll talk about that when we come back from the break.
Yeah, sounds good.
Stick around, folks. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. More with the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell. Mayor, the chief of police, you submitted his name to the city council?
Yeah, real quickly. Yeah, I'm just trying to find a way to break the logjam with the city council. And so we submitted the name. It doesn't compromise our legal position, but I just said, okay, if you want me to intone the words, I hereby submit Jason Doty's name is the next police chief for confirmation, so be it. So I did, and as a way of trying to move things along with them, and so they'll take that up when they take it up. But he's already been chief for 3 months, and I think he's doing a very good job, and I think in the long run it'll prove very effective for the residents.